Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome, each one. Let us turn to the Gospel of Mark in chapter 12. Gospel of Mark, chapter 12. The scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians, often tried to trap the Lord Jesus with his words and his works, but they, of course, were never successful. In here in Mark chapter 12, in verse 28, one of the scribes came, having heard him them reasoning together. You can look at the previous little section where they had tried to trap him with his words, but this particular scribe, hearing and heard them reasoning together and perceived that he had answered them well. So he asked, "What is the first commandment?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, Shema Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment, and the second is like it, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these.' And the scribe said unto him, 'Well, Master, thou hast said the truth. There is only one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices.'" So the Ten Commandments are summed up in two. I must love God, and I must love you. Easy. The Ten Commandments are summed up in two. I must love God, and I must love you. Let's take a little trip through the writings of John, the beloved disciple, often called the disciple of love, and see how this works in the church today. Turn, if you will, to John chapter 13. John chapter 13, and in verse 34, the Lord Jesus speaking says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." He says, "A new commandment." Well, doesn't that sound like the old commandment? Well, there's a little difference. The old commandment says, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." The Lord Jesus says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." And he goes on to say, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another." That you love one another as I have loved you. How did he love us? Well, he loved us with an undying love, a love that actually caused him to die. He loved us with a perfect love, a selfless love. He loved us with no necessarily thought of a return to that love. He loved us with an unselfish love. He loved us with an agape love, as the Greeks would say it. And he says that we are to love one another in that same kind of way. Look in chapter 15 of John, and in verse 12. "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." Again, look at verse 17. "These things I command you, that ye love one another." Now notice he goes on to say the world's going to hate you. That's not to be so with you. It hated me before it hated you. But you are commanded to love one another. Go to the little book of 1 John. And so our Lord Jesus has said it. Love one another as I have loved you. He repeated it. Love one another as I have loved you. And he said it again. Love one another. Now in 1 John, in chapter 3, well, looking beginning in verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons, or literally the children of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now, right now, now are we the sons or children of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Right now we are the children of God. Children of God means brothers and sisters, one of another. I've commanded you that you love one another as I have loved you. What foreign kind of love that the Father should bestow on us, that we should be named his children. Skip down to verse 17. Oh, we should even look back in verse 16. No, let's even go back a little farther. Verse 11. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. And now going down to verse 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. What's an evidence that we belong to him? What's the evidence that we're saved? We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. We love the brethren. Verse 15, Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. He laid down his life. His love was such that he cared not for himself, but he cared for us. And that ought to be our attitude. Not necessarily that we should need to go and give our very life, but we should have such an attitude that we would give up self and our right to ourself for the sake of the brethren. Verse 18. Well, look at verse 17. But whoso hath this world's goods and sees his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word. Judas loved in word. Let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Go over to chapter 4 of 1 John. Looking at what the beloved disciple has to say. He's called sometimes the apostle of love. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7, beloved, let us love one another. I think John has a message for us. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby we know that we dwell in him, and he in us. How do we know? Because he's given us of his Spirit. He's given to us of his Spirit. And verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in us. Verse 20, if a man say that I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we received from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. And you could also look, I'll just turn a page or two to 2 John chapter 1, or check 2 John and verse 5. I beseech thee, lady, perhaps a particular church, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto you, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. We're commanded to love one another as Christ loved us. Now, how is that possible? His love was self-sacrificing, agape love, a love that disregarded his own interests, a love of choice, a love that regard not the return of that love. Same kind of love that John 3:16 says, God so loved the world. God knew that the world did not love him. God did not expect that mostly the world would receive his love. But God's love was a love of choice. That's the way he loved us, with a love of choice. Before we knew him, while we were his enemies, he chose to love us. And God says that should be so for you and for me. That should be our choice among the brethren. Are there some that you don't like? Some that you don't talk to? Some that you avoid? Some that you don't want to pray for? God says it's our right choice that we should love the brethren, that we should want the highest and the best for them. It's not an emotion. It's a choice. We should choose to love because his love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Indeed, Paul said to the Thessalonians, we are taught of God to love one another. And the fruit of the Spirit, of course, is love. It's possible, because God never asks us to do anything that he doesn't enable us to do. Someone said it, God never asks anyone, anywhere, at any time, to be or to do anything for him without at that moment placing at that person's disposal ample and adequate ability both to be and to do that thing for him. God will never ask what's impossible that he will not enable us to do. So how does it work? Well, Paul is a good example for us. He says, follow me as I follow Christ. So let's see how Paul loved the brethren, say in Philippi. Let's turn to the book of Philippians and chapter 1. Philippians in chapter 1. He says in verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Do you thank God as you remember the brethren? You thank God as you think of them. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. Do you pray for the brethren? There's a prayer list in the back, one of the drawers. Use that. I divided it up into little sections, and I try to take a section almost every day and pray for those ones. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all. Why? How did he feel toward the Philippians? I have you in my heart. You're in my heart. Is the local assembly, are your fellow believers in your heart? Do you love with the love of Christ? I have you in my heart, says Paul. And in verse 8, he says, for God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Paul had a longing after the believers. Do you long after the believers? Do you long after this place? And then going on, verse 9, I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. I want you to love. I want your love to be constantly growing, constantly being enlarged, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with all the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Here's a prayer for the saints. Paul loved the people of Philippi. He loved them with that love of Christ. How about the Colossians? Let's turn over to the book of Colossians, the people of Colossae. He even loved, he loved the Corinthians. Now, they were a church that had their problems, but one of the things among many he said to them, he said, I seek not yours, but you. I don't want what you have for me. I want to give to you. I seek not yours, but you. I seek your hearts. That was his feeling toward the Corinthians. The Colossians in chapter 1, in verse 29, but let's go back to 27, which we often come to. Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I labor, striving, working to the point of exhaustion, according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. I want to see Christ formed in you. I want to see you rooted and grounded in Christ. And I labor to that. God, through Paul, or Paul, by means of God, loved the Colossians. He wanted to see their perfection. He wanted them to have all that God would have for them. And even those he had not met, in chapter 2, verse 1, I would you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. Paul had a longing for believers all over. He had never met the Laodiceans. He had never been in Laodicea, but he loved them. He longed for them, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, unto all riches and full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Paul loved the believers. We ought also to so love the believers. How do we manifest it? How do we show the love How do we show that we love one another? Well, some years ago, there was a believer amongst us. I think her name was Gloria. And she said to me, I think you people genuinely love each other. It was evident. Remember back in the Gospel of John, the Lord Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you that you know me, and that you love one another. Our love one to another is manifest to those coming in, to those around and about us. See how they love one another. We're admonished to love one another, even as Christ loved us. So how do we do it? Well, Paul said to the Philippians that he prayed that their love would abound yet more and more in knowledge and in judgment, not just a mushy-gushy kind of emotional love, but a genuine love that had even no regard for itself, a love of choice. And to the Thessalonians, he said, well, that's just the next book over, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. He says in the Lord, in chapter 3 and verse 12, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. I would that you would abound in love. So how does it work? How about some practical tips for us in our love relationship one another and one to another? In the book of Ephesians, in chapter 5 and in verse 2, he tells us to walk in love. Now, there was a time when there was a young lady that I was kind of interested in, and I used to sometimes walk to meet her at her house, just to walk her to the bus station on our way to work. And I used to think, I have often walked on this street before, but the pavement always stayed beneath my feet before, but suddenly I'm on the street where you live. And so my gaze was a lot higher. The street made no difference. I was in love. I was walking in love. And you know, we walk on these streets, these old streets, but our gaze should be a little bit higher. We ought to be gazing toward heaven. If ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, not on the things of the earth. We're to walk in love. And as we walk in love individually, we manifest that love one to another. In the next book, Philippians. And so I can love the brethren by my loving the Lord. In fact, we read that verse in 1 John 5, where it says to love the brethren is to love and to keep God's commandments. In Philippians chapter 2, we are told to, in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Moving back to verse 2, he says, fulfill my joy that you be like-minded. We need to be like-minded. That's a way of loving one another, thinking the same thing, being on the same page. And we have the privilege of sitting under the Word of God. And the more we hear the Word of God and respond to it, the more like-minded we become, and the more we love one another. Fulfill ye my joy, verse 2, chapter 2, verse 2, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, Let each esteem other better than themselves. Value the other person more than you value yourself. Do we value one another in that kind of way? Do we fix the right value on one another? Or are we caught up with self and we value ourselves? God's love values the other, God's kind of love. And again, on verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. Looking how I might benefit the believers, how I might give of myself, that I might please the Lord in such a way. Hebrews 6, verse 10, you don't need to turn there, tells us that God is not unrighteous to forget our work and labor of love, and that we minister, that we have ministered to the saints and do minister. We minister one to another. There are many ways to minister one to another. You're ministering one to another right now, right this very moment, as you listen to the Word of God. Others see you listening to the Word of God. Others see how you respond to the Word of God. Others hear how you sing, your attitude in singing, your attitude toward the Word of God. Your attitude one to another. That's a ministry. In fact, God calls on us all to be ministers. We are all ministers together right now. It's not just you sitting in the pew, but it's the whole assembly. And as we sit, as we sing, as we listen, we are an encouragement one to another. We are loving one another. We should be looking for the Lord's return. We have the same hope, and we share that often one with another. Perhaps today, sometimes we say to one another, and in that, we are loving the brethren, looking to Jesus. And let's do turn to the book of Hebrews in chapter 10. Just being here. Oh, could be off and away. Could not attend. Could be late. There are reasons sometimes for being late. But we're meeting with the Lord. We're meeting with the other saints. We ought especially to be on time. We ought to be special. Now, again, I know that there are things that disrupt, and but that ought not to be the practice. If you love the brethren, we should all be here together. If you love the Lord, you should be here together, all at the same time, so much as is possible. And verse 25, Hebrews 10, says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Oh, we see the day approaching, don't we? We're family together. The world has very little for us, less and less, as the moments go by. It ought to make us want to band together even more and more. This is where love is. There is no love out there in the world. Verse 23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. In that, we love the Lord, we love one another. For he is faithful that promised, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. That's my hope, to provoke you, to provoke myself into love and good works. That doing well, we might do even better. That we might go on to more and more of that wonderful love for the brethren. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Well, look at, turn over a few pages to chapter 13. And in verse 1, let Philadelphia, continue. Philadelphia means brotherly love. Of course, today it's brotherly shove down there, but the Lord says, let brotherly love continue. That's a little different word. It's not the agape word, but that's the word of an affectionate kind of love. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. You often entertain amongst yourselves, amongst ourselves, for thereby some have even entertained angels unawares. Remember that are in bonds, as bound with them. Now, you know, there are some who are in bonds of sickness and unable to come. We ought to remember them in particular ways. And them which suffer adversity. Remember those who are going through difficult times, as being yourselves also in the body. Another way to show that love one to another. A few books over, 1 Peter. First Peter in chapter 3. And in verse 8. Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful, showing pity. Be courteous. And thus show the love of God. We're told to love. Well, let's look. Let's see. Do I want to get there yet? Yes, let's go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And in verse 9, let love be without dissimulation, without hypocrisy, a real love, a genuine love, an honest love. Abhor that which is evil, cling to that which is good. And thus we encourage one another. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Putting the other guy ahead of self. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. Again, that praying for one another. Distributing to the necessity of saints. And we do, you do. Given to hospitality, and you are. But let's do more and more and more. Bless them which bless you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Think of the little guy. And you know, when I say that, I think of the children too. How often do you stop to say hello to the children? How often do you children stop to say hello to the adults? Those of you who are believers, we ought to be doing that. We ought to be seeking each other out. In fact, you know, I find that we often tend to stay in our little groups. We seek out the same people, and we just kind of group ourselves. In fact, sometimes even families tend to do that. The service is over and we find a little corner. We haven't seen each other all week, and so we want to be together. But why not seek out one person every week that you haven't talked to before or in a long time? Or maybe every session, seek out one person that you haven't talked to, that you don't know. I think that would be a good thing. I think that would be an encouraging thing. Seek out again the children. Shake their hand. They like that. And you children, seek out the adults. And you shake their hands. And you could go on in verse 20 in that chapter, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. And God does tell us to love our enemies. But, of course, we feed one another. We give drink to one another. And that last verse, and I think that's a wonderful verse for today. In fact, somehow I learned that verse in my dead Methodist church as a boy. And it's carried me very much through life. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And there are a lot of people who would like to have us take revenge one on another. But I determined, no, not overcome of evil, but to overcome evil with good. Galatians reminds us to bear one another's burdens. Help to lift the load for one another. Let's look at Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4 and verse 2, again, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We ought to be doing our utmost to make this place one unit. And again, that's by being there, showing that love one to another, doing our best to keep the oneness of the church. Verse 7, now to every one of us is given grace. Every believer has grace. Every believer has a gift of grace. You, if you're saved, you have a gift. If you don't have a gift, then you must not be saved. If you're a believer, you have a gift. And the gift is not for you, but it's for the assembly, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Your gift is that you might serve the assembly of the saints. In verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. We have a gift to make the body work. Everyone has a part to play for the whole. I have a body. I have a hand. My hand is not here for itself. My hand doesn't just look out for itself. My hand is here for the sake of my body. My ear is not just to be an ear all by itself and to have the attention and to live and so forth. My ear is for the body. And so with each and every part. Well, I have a gift. You have a gift. You might not even know what it is, but if you just live, if you just grow, you'll do it. My ear didn't have to go to ear college to learn what to do. All it had to do was grow along with the body. It automatically does what it's supposed to do. And so with us, if we simply grow in the Lord, then we can exercise that gift. And again, as we sit here together, you are to some measure exercising that gift. Again, it could be just the fact that you sing, with from the heart, that it's more than just words to you. We're here for the body. We're here for one another. And we ought to minister one to another constantly. It's not just going to church, just being in a spot. There's something marvelous, something wonderful, something that's eternal that's going on here. as we come together, as we meet together. And we need to see the seriousness. We need to see the beauty of what God is doing in a place like this. And the world needs to see it. Some days ago, when I used to listen to that music, there was a song, "What the World Needs Now Is Love, Sweet Love." Well, they need to see the believers in love, the believers in love one with another. We need to pray for one another. We need to value the leadership, esteem leaders high for love's sake. We need to forget self for the sake of others. We need to watch family and friendship relationships mix around. We need to get to know others. We need to greet others that we don't know. We need to remember that God is doing something very special, that we are indeed the very family of God. And so, may our love, one for another, abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. May the Lord make us to increase and abound in love one to another.